Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, let's bring in Trent Dilfer, the awesome football analyst on the home of the Cowboys here on Sean and RJ on the buyersafety.com hotline. Trent, are you buying, selling, or holding the Cowboys the rest of the way?
I can't figure it out. They're keeping me up at night trying to figure it out. I'm a fan, too, so that makes it worse. You know, I've been a Cowboys fan forever.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I lived in Austin the last couple of years before I moved to Nashville. I know a lot of the coaches and players. I mean, I root. I'm a fanboy with the Cowboys, which makes it even more frustrating. their ceiling is so high, and I think that's what makes them so frustrating, that when they play well, they're as good as anybody. I can see them beating anybody in football when they play well. And then they have these moments where they just, it's like a demon gets inside of them and they don't act as they should as a football team. I'm trying to identify what it is. I really don't have a lot of problems with their offense. I really like what their offense has done, even though it's stalled at some times. The scheme of it, the philosophy they implement offensively, the multiplicity they have, I like it. I do think they should be a little more run action, but listen, I'm just an armchair quarterback like everybody else. They're the ones doing the X's and O's. They're the ones getting the feel for the game. I trust their offensive coaching staff. Defensively, what I saw the other day, which I liked, was they showed some more looks. They made it a little more confusing pre-snap for the Rams. And I point back to something Troy said. I think it was a Thursday night game he was doing. I can't remember if it was Sunday or Thursday he was doing. And he said, you know, it was the Trubisky game, the Bears game.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, when you're a young quarterback, what you pray for is a defense that just lines up and tells you what they're going to do. And I 100% agree with that, that it's easy to play quarterback in the NFL that when the post-snap look is the same as the pre-snap look. And that's what the Cowboys had done this year. Now, the other day, they changed it up a little bit, and they gave Goff a little more eye candy. They showed some different schemes. They showed some more movement defensively pre-snap, and it made it a lot harder for the Rams to play. If they can continue that trend and become a little more diverse defensively, I think they have a chance. Then I'd be a buyer. But again, I don't want to overreact like everybody else after just one game, because we've seen that from them before. Like they've had these one games where they look like Super Bowl contenders, and the next week you don't know what team's going to show up.
Trent Dilfer here on 105.3 The Fan. So, you know, one of the toughest things for us to do is evaluate coaching. You are an expert in concepts and X's and O's, but then there's all the leadership and motivational stuff behind the scenes. How do you evaluate whether Jason Garrett needs to go? Because for me, when you have all this talent and they're as confusing as both of us are and they're maddening, I can't think of anything else to evaluate Jason on than this team not meeting expectations. How do you evaluate Garrett?
Yeah, it's been the hardest thing I've had to talk about this year, because I know there's reality to the NFL and there's a perception to the NFL. And many times the perception becomes the reality, unfortunately. The reality is Jason's an incredible leader. And in fact, if the Cowboys let him go, he will be the first guy that other teams will try to hire. He's incredibly respected, both with owners, general managers, and other coaches around the league.
Wow, Jerry told us that, but we all kind of laugh. You believe that he'd be hired somewhere else quickly?
Day one. He'd be the number one candidate day one.
Wow.
I mean, everybody in the NFL admires Jason Garrett for a lot of different reasons, not just because he's a good guy. Like, I think sometimes people start criticizing, like, well, he's just a good guy. That's why everybody thinks he's a good coach. No, he's a hell of a football coach. He's an incredibly good leader and admired and revered around the NFL. So you have a great leader. Now, here's what happens, though, and the unfortunate part of the NFL is once this narrative starts, that it's Jason's fault, And we all know that for like 6 weeks now, it's all I've talked about when I talk about the Cowboys. I'm sure it's all you guys talk about. Every radio TV show has started that narrative that, well, if they're not performing well, it's Jason's fault. Here's what happens in the NFL. Everybody's who fault it is now has a fall guy. So every Cowboy that's dropping a ball, that's missing a gap, that's missing a block, that isn't working hard during the week, now has a fall guy to say, well, this isn't my fault. This is Jason's fault, because everybody's saying it's Jason's fault. And it becomes this groundswell within organizations that, hey, I cannot take the blame now. Think about this. Nobody's going to talk about how I've underperformed, because they're all going to talk about our head coach and how he's underperformed.
Mm.
And that's what happens in this league. And that's what's so should Jason be fired? That's one. That's not my decision to make. That's not your decision to make. That's for people to have an opinion. That's Jerry's decision to make. But what Jerry needs to realize is, you know, he needs to put on his football evaluation hat, and Steven needs to put on their football evaluation hat and says, okay, can Jason make that guy run the right route? Can Jason make this guy make the right call on the offensive line? Is that under Jason's authority, or is Jason's job to be the CEO of this program and make sure the right people are in place, the right talent's being evaluated, the right coaches are coaching the right stuff, blah, 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 blah. And that's their decision, but it's not because they played bad, it's Jason Garrett's fault. I steal this line from Merrill Hodge. I worked with him for years at the ESPN, and he stole it from Chuck Noll at the Steelers. The head coach has all the power, but very little control.
Mm.
But yet we always want to blame him on the control part. He has power, and he's got authority, and he's got responsibilities. But he really doesn't have control game day. There's no mad, and I'm living this as a high school head coach. We'll give the answers to the test to our kids, but I can't control whether he freaks out and sees a ghost in the pocket and makes a bad decision. No matter how much I train him, no matter how much we coach him, no matter how many resources we give them, that's ultimately on the kid. And the accountability doesn't always fall on the head coach.
Trent Dilfer here on behalf of Panini America. I think I remember it was the Elite 11, that quarterback series that you were doing. That was tremendous. If you love football on all levels. So since you're a Cowboy fan, do you dislike or despise Jerry Jones's role here? The Jerry blame, is that an old stale narrative? Because Troy Aikman has been very critical of Jerry, not allowing Jason to be the solo voice. But we do have all this talent, and Steven has more of a role, and Will McClay does player personnel. Where do you stand with Jerry?
I'm not there enough. And Troy is one of my all-time favorite humans, and I think he's by far one of the smartest people in all of football. When Troy says it, I tend to agree with it. You know, it's I think that the more control, we'll use that word, more power, sorry, that Steven and Jason have, the better the Cowboys are. Instead of knocking Jerry, I'll just say Steven has proven that he's very, very good at what he does. And I think give Jason a little more of that overarching power, and I think the Cowboys are in a better place.
I need a scheme, X's and O's concept education from you on Kellen Moore. He was our, you know, Sean McVay, the young whiz kid, obviously a lot of inexperience coming from Scott Linehan's tree. What have you seen? How different is this offense from Scott Linehan, and what do you think of Kellen Moore right now?
I think they're fantastic schematically. You can usually judge a passing game by the space that's created in the secondary. They create a lot of space in the secondary. They activate defenders. They usually eat up two defenders with one player. Like, there's a lot of technical, nerdy football stuff I can get into that nobody really cares about. But evaluating their scheme, I really like it. You know, John Kitna is on the staff, too. Again, one, I think, a future head coach in college or the NFL. Fantastic mind and leader. Here's the one problem all of us quarterbacks have when we start coaching. I think both John and Kellen will evaluate themselves this offseason and come up with what I'm about to say as a self-evaluation. We tend to look at the game, because we're quarterbacks, in terms of how to activate secondaries and create conflict with the back seven and our minds are always wrapped around how do we get 15 yards in the passing game and how do we pick on a guy, and it's all very pass-centric.
Mm-hmm.
And what quarterbacks have to learn as play callers and as coaches is that when you throw the ball, a lot of bad things can happen. When you run the ball, very few bad things can happen. And then there's this great balance called run action, where it looks like you're going to run the ball, but you're really passing the ball, and now less bad things can happen. And my only criticism, and they're both very good friends, and if they call me after this interview and say, why are you being harsh? I would say, I'm not being harsh. I think you guys need to run action more. Like that, with Ezekiel Elliott, with Pollard, with that offensive line, they literally could get the entire defense to jump up into the line of scrimmage and make their passing game so much easier if they just resorted a little bit more to the run action game. I love what they do in the passing game. I like their schemes in the running game. I think it lacks that next element, which is we're going to run it, we're going to run it, we're going to make you think we're running it, and then we're going to throw it, and it's going to look like we're running. We're literally going to turn our back to the line of scrimmage. We're going to put the ball out. It's going to sit in the belly of the back where it's going to come out, and maybe the schemes aren't quite as elaborate. Maybe they're not quite as complex, but now you're getting the defense to eat their soup left-handed. You know, for lack of it, now they're having to play backwards.
Yeah.
They're all in on run. It's run. It tastes like run. Smells like run. It feels like run. Oh my gosh, it's pass. And if I see a little more of that, I think that's the next level for John and Kellen, is to invest all that intellectual property they have in kind of creating the ultimate run action passing game, because that's when I think they'll be unstoppable.
Phenomenal answer. If you are if you're redrafting tomorrow, are you picking Dak or Wentz first?
Oh, wow. I've been asked that question. You know, I'm not just saying this because I'm on a Cowboys radio show. I would say Dak because I think Carson's more talented.
Yep.
Wentz is one of the premier talents in the league, but Wentz also still has the Superman complex where he thinks he can make every play at every time and he gets careless with the ball. I think Dak has learned a lot of discretion over the past year. And although he is very talented, and yes, he does try to make plays sometimes too often, he still, I can see it. I can actually see it when I watch him play, like, oh, I can make that play, but I don't need to. And he dumps it off or throws it away or scrambles for 2 yards or makes a good decision. And you're like, wow, that kid gets it at a young age. And that's something I never got. Like 14 years, I was still trying, broken down old man with no talent. And I was still trying to make the play, quote unquote, make the play.
Yeah.
And the great ones, look at Drew Brees last night. I mean, he goes, what do you go, 29 of 30?
Yeah.
But about 7 of those completions where he had something else, and the very last second he says, no, I'm going to dump it off right over here. Or I'm just going to get 1 yard, or I'm just going to get 4 yards. Because if I keep doing that, I'm going to keep getting more opportunities to make the big play later on, and I can see Dak doing that.
As we get so you have no issues with paying him the franchise money?
No, I would pay him the franchise money. You just have to. I mean, man, there's teams that have made far worse decisions with their quarterbacks than the Cowboys and are in a position to make. I mean, I think he's one of the top. It's always hard when you start listing them, but
yeah.
He's in the top 8. I don't know where he fits in the top 8, but he's in the top 8.
NFC East title game on Sunday. Cowboys worked them over in Arlington. And I know Carson's doing it with a lot of backups and injuries. But what's your overall analysis of Philly? What's going wrong with the Eagles this year?
Well, when they're banged up, I mean, there's excuses and there's reasons. Like,
yeah.
There are no excuses in football, but there are reasons. Mike Holmer used to say that. He's like, listen, everybody's think I'm making an excuse, but there's a reason. Like, we have 4 of our 5 offensive linemen hurt. Our quarterback's hurt. Our safety's hurt. You know, like, you're not going to be as good when you're beat up. So they're really beat up, so that's one of the reasons. I think Carson has helped them lose as many games as he's helped them win. And I love Carson Wentz, but that's a reality of his. Yeah, we'll talk about the great throw he makes in the comeback the other day, but they're not behind in that game if he doesn't fumble the ball earlier in the pocket. So it's like he helps them lose as much as he helps them win, where Dak doesn't he's not the reason the Cowboys lose very often.
Right.
Carson's the reason that the Eagles lose, and I think this game, that's the message that I'm saying if I'm Jason. I'm going to say make him lose the game. Like, he will lose the game if we make him, if we disrupt the pocket, if we give him multiple looks, if we force him to hold the ball a little bit longer. Like, he will give us the game. And that's, I think, the formula this week going into Philly is make Philly lose the game. They will. They've proven this year that they'll give you the game.
Trent Dilfer on the home of the Cowboys right here, a big fat football sandwich, and we got cards to go along with it. What are you doing with Panini America?
I'll keep this really tight. I've been working with Panini for, I think it's 6 years now. It's the coolest thing I get to do in terms of the endorsement world. They make the best cards. They dominate the trading card market worldwide. They're incredible. Kids love them. You just go to a Walmart hobby shop. You buy the cards because you're going to buy them anyways. And then you enter the sweepstakes to be the Super Bowl Kid Reporter, Panini Super Bowl Kid Reporter. If you win it, then you hang out with me on Monday of the Super Bowl, which that's the downside. You have to be around me. But then I train you to kind of do the media night, and then me and the kid go around that night. We've done it with 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds, and we go around. We get to the front of the media booths. We interview the players. Tom Brady comes off the booth and talks to the kid. I've been doing this so long now, they know why I'm walking around. I know all the guys anyways. And the kid gets to have these incredible connections, engagements with the player, the coaches, gets to go on TV, gets to be on the big screen down in the auditorium, and it's just a great experience. And then they get to go to the Super Bowl. So go buy some trading cards. You're going to buy them anyways and register for this. And I apologize on the front end that you have to hang out with me all day.
Please get back on TV full time. I don't know why it's not happened yet, or do a weekly with us since you're in Texas. Thank you for the unbelievable interview, and we'll catch up with you moving forward, Trent.
All right, thanks for having me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.